All right, so Christmas is coming up. On Tuesday, we do celebrate the birth of Jesus. And we celebrate the love of God that led him to come to this earth. The love of God that is unsurpassed, that led him to come as flesh to this earth, this fallen world. God has always desired to be with us, his creation. He's always desired to walk with us, his creation. If you remember, even in the garden, you see that God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. He walked with them until the time of fall of men. In Genesis 3:8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. God has always desired to walk with us, his creation. But we see there that sin caused separation between God and man. And that separation lasted until the time of Jesus and his birth. Man couldn't come to God, so God came to man with the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And God once again could then walk with men. That is why we celebrate. That's the celebration of Christmas. Now, most of the times when you listen to Christmas messages usually come from the biblical text that would have to do with the birth of Jesus Christ as given by the gospel writers Matthew and Luke. Always comes from those two. But this morning we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Unusual, yes, but don't worry, it's still going to be very Christmassy. It's all going to work out. So let me show you the verse that I really want to focus on today. This is Colossians chapter 1, verse number 15. Speaking about Jesus, Paul says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Christmas is a time of celebrating the birth of Jesus. But let's be honest. It's what Jeff said. It's what we just did here. Christmas is also a time of giving gifts. Even the Magi, they brought gifts when they came to celebrate the coming of our Savior. Christmas is a time for giving gifts. But Jesus, being the firstborn of creation, he is actually the gift of the firstborn for each one of us. And that's what I want to show us this morning. I want us to see what it is, the gift of the firstborn. What does that mean for you and I? Now, it's helpful for us to really understand this if we look at this same verse, but let's look at it from the Amplified Bible. So Colossians chapter 1, verse number 15. But this is in the Amplified Bible. Now, he is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation. At the very end of that verse, Paul says that Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. That sounds very poetic. It sounds very spiritual. But what does it actually mean for us? Well, that actually refers to two very distinct moments in God's history with mankind. And two moments that are of monumental importance to you and I on a daily basis. So first, it first refers to Jesus as being present at the creation of all things, at the creation of the earth, the creation of the universe, the creation of everything that is a part of this natural physical world that we live in. Jesus was present at the beginning, at the creation. He was the witness, and he was also the author of creation. That point is made clear to us in the book of Revelation. So you're getting the Christmas message that so far has Colossians and Revelation. Here's what it says in Revelation. And the angel, messenger of the assembly, church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the trusty and faithful and true witness, the origin and the beginning, and author of God's creation. So Jesus was witness to creation. But more than just a witness to the creation, Jesus was also active in creation. Because that verse in Revelation, that same verse that tells us that Jesus was a witness to the creation, also says that Jesus was the author of creation. Think about what an author does. An author writes words. An author creates things through words. Well, Jesus' disciple John tells us that Jesus is the Word. So now think about this. How did God create all things? He spoke them into existence. For example, look at the very first thing that we see that God spoke into existence. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 3. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God spoke the world, or the word, and it was so. Jesus is the word. So God spoke Jesus, and everything that is was created. Jesus truly is the author of all creation. He was present, and he was a witness, and he was the author of creation. So in part, that's what Paul's talking about when Paul says that Jesus was the firstborn of creation. And this understanding of Jesus as firstborn of creation, it's not just isolated just there. It's in other places in the Bible. Think about Proverbs chapter 8. That whole chapter 8 of Proverbs, the whole chapter is talking about wisdom. But if you read that chapter, it actually personifies wisdom. So it's making wisdom into a person. Now, we know that that's an Old Covenant reference to Jesus Christ. We know it by, if you read through it, it's self-evident. But we also know it because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're told that Jesus is the wisdom of God. So, Proverbs says, Proverbs speaking about wisdom, speaking about Jesus, Proverbs says this in Proverbs chapter 8. This is verse number 23. I, Jesus, wisdom, I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. Jesus was from the beginning. He was before the earth. Jesus was there. So when we talk about Jesus being the firstborn of creation, he was there. He was the witness, and he was the author of creation. If you read the verses that come after that, you see that it goes on to talk about God creating the world, God creating the universe. Now, if you go a little bit further, I want you to look at verse number 30. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 30 says this. Then I, still speaking about wisdom, Jesus, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. So this is saying that Jesus was from the very beginning, and that Jesus was beside God the Father, and Jesus was the master craftsman of all of creation. But at the end of the verse, it goes on to say that Jesus was daily before the Father during creation and always rejoicing. Now, Jeff got us set up this morning well for praise and worship. Praise and worship should come easy. It should flow from us because it's just expressing our love, our adoration for who he is. Picture Jesus when at creation, he was always rejoicing before the Father. And here's the important thing. That rejoicing never ceased. From the beginning of creation, with Jesus as the firstborn of creation, from the beginning of creation, Jesus has been rejoicing before the Father. That has never ceased. Even today, Jesus is rejoicing before the Father, but now he's rejoicing over the creation of you. This is one of my favorite verses. This is Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 17. You guys familiar with this? Love this verse. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. Here it comes. He will rejoice over you with singing. Man, what a wonderful picture of spiritual truth that is. Jesus is today. Every day, Jesus is before the Father, rejoicing over you with singing. That is his great love for you. So from the time of creation, when he was the author of all creation, he was before God the Father rejoicing. Now he's rejoicing every day with singing over you. Why would we ever be discouraged? Why would we ever be downcast? That is such a picture of hopefulness, because Jesus is rejoicing over you. It's a marvelous, wonderful picture. But that verse is also for us our transition into the next thing that Paul was referencing when he said that Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. So the first thing he was implying, I'm going to add a little bit to that first part, and it's going to move us into the second. So the first thing is that Jesus, as the firstborn of all creation, Jesus was the author of all things that are. So now, let's take it to the next step. Jesus is the author of creation. But Jesus, as the author of creation, came and became a part of his own creation. He did that when he came into this world. So when Paul says that Jesus is the firstborn of creation, that is also alluding to the fact that Jesus, who was the one who created all things in this natural world, it's alluding to the fact that Jesus became flesh so that God, as we saw from the very beginning, God can once again walk with man. Now, the heart of the Father is always to walk with us. The heart of the Father was to walk once again with his creation, man, in the flesh. But Jesus becoming the firstborn of creation, it's more than that. Jesus becoming the firstborn of creation was more than just the Father being able to walk with man again. Ultimately, the ultimate purpose was in Jesus bringing deliverance and salvation so that by a restored relationship with the Father, through the blood of Jesus Christ, man could walk with God forever. We can walk with Father God throughout eternity. Now go back and think about the beginning of that verse we just looked at from Zephaniah that I love so well. I love that last part, but look at the power that's in that first part of that as well. It says that the Lord in your midst. That's looking ahead. That is the prophet looking ahead and seeing Jesus Christ in us as Savior, living and dwelling in us. The Mighty One will save. That is taking us from Jesus being, that's the transition, that is Jesus taking us, or that's us taking it from Jesus being the firstborn of creation to now Jesus being the firstborn of all who are the new creation in his salvation. So in Proverbs, we could look and we could see Jesus. We saw Jesus in Proverbs chapter 8. Jesus was rejoicing. He was daily before the Father during creation, and he was rejoicing at the crafting of all of creation. But then we look at Zephaniah. In Zephaniah, we see the prophet Zephaniah. He's looking ahead. He is seeing into today. He's looking ahead, and he is seeing Jesus rejoicing with singing over all who have become a new creation in him. So Jesus is the firstborn of creation. He created all things. Jesus, as the firstborn of creation, came into his creation so that Jesus could become the firstborn of the new creation in him. Jesus, everybody with me? Jesus, the author of creation, came into his creation so that he could become the firstborn of the new creation. That is why we celebrate Christmas. The author of creation coming into his creation to become the firstborn of the new creation through his resurrection. Now, still in the Old Testament, the prophet Nathan. Nathan prophesied that the Messiah, the Savior, would come through the line, through the lineage of David. So it is vitally important that Jesus would come into his creation, into this flesh, through the line of David. Now his genealogies, the genealogy of Jesus, that genealogy is so important because of what was prophesied. It's so important that both Matthew and Luke, the two who give us the birth, the story, the account of Jesus' birth, both Matthew and Luke share the genealogy of Jesus. Now, here's the thing. Those two genealogies, they're great and they're wonderful. Has anybody recently read through both genealogies? There you go, Dan. You know, it sometimes is hard to read through genealogies, but there it's like every part of the Bible. There is so much richness that is, if you'll take the time to read through it and just let the Holy Spirit show you what each thing means. Those two genealogies have actually caused a lot of confusion over all the years and over all the generations. It's caused confusion because it appears that the two genealogies give a different version of the genealogy. They appear to be somewhat different. And so men throughout history have used the differences, and there are differences, but the word's always true, so don't panic. So men have oftentimes used those differences in those two genealogies to suggest that the Bible is not, to disqualify the Bible as being divine, and to suggest that the Bible is not always correct. But we know, of course, that the Bible is always true. We know that the Bible is the final word on all things. And if we look at those two genealogies and we consider it, it actually shows us that the two genealogies that have two different versions, it actually shows us, it demonstrates God's faithfulness to His Word, because it shows us how Jesus, as the firstborn of creation, can then legally, in a spiritual sense, legally become the firstborn of the new creation. So here's the problem. Here's the issue between the two genealogies of Matthew and Luke. Here's the issue. If you remember last week, we were looking at Joseph, the foster father of Jesus Christ, the betrothed of Mary. And last week I showed you why it's important that Joseph was the father of Jacob. That's what Matthew's genealogy shows us. But if you read Luke's genealogy looks entirely different from David all the way through Christ. It is entirely different than Matthew's, from David through to Christ. Different. And in fact, it even ends by saying that Joseph, or concludes by saying that Joseph is the son not of Jacob, but Joseph is the son of Heli. So here's what happens. Here's the difference. Matthew is giving us the genealogy of Jesus Christ through Joseph, Joseph being the surrogate father of Jesus Christ. That's what Matthew is showing us. So it's showing us the genealogy through Joseph. And so we see the genealogy of Jesus Christ from David, because it's got to come through the lineage of David, from David through David's son Solomon. And it goes from Solomon, and it includes all of the descendants of Solomon, including the descendants of a man named Jeconiah. Now, here's the problem. Jeconiah was not a good man. And the prophet Jeremiah said that Jeconiah, is this getting confusion? Y'all still with me? The prophet Jeremiah said that Jeconiah was so evil, he was under a curse, and that none of his descendants would ever sit on David's throne. So through the blood of Joseph, none of Joseph's descendants can sit on David's throne. But what Matthew is showing us, Matthew through his genealogy is showing us that Joseph could and was, had the role of being the foster father of Jesus. And Joseph was from the line of David, which was important for the Jews of that time. But also because of who Joseph was, Jesus did not have the blood of the curse in him. Because Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary, who was a virgin. Now here's the good thing about Mary. Mary's lineage is also through David. She also has a line through David. And that's what Luke's genealogy is showing us. And the good thing is that from David, Mary's genealogy comes not through Solomon, but through another one of David's sons, another individual called Nathan. And so going through Nathan instead of going through Solomon, it entirely bypasses the entire curse of Jeconiah. So you can see that even though there's two curses, or there's two genealogies, you can see because of the curse, the Word of God, people, if people look historically at the two genealogies and say it's different, it was easy for them to say, well, the Bible is incorrect. But this is the beauty of the Word of God. It actually demonstrates God's faithfulness to the Word and how he could make Jesus the firstborn of creation as well as becoming the firstborn of the new creation. So we're still left with one problem, though, with those two genealogies. It doesn't really matter for our topic today, but I don't want to leave you hanging on this. If you go back and look at this, the problem that we're left with is it does still say, we do still see, we have the question of why did Luke say that Joseph, the foster father of Jesus, why did Luke say that Joseph was the son of Heli instead of the son of Jacob as Matthew did? Why did that happen? Well, and you can see that since I saw you looking behind me, that's exactly what it does say. So this is Luke chapter 3, verse number 23. Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about the age 30, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, the son of Heli. Here's why it reads that way, or here's why it says that, which is accurate. You have to remember that this is coming through the lineage of Mary. Hebrew of that day did not have a word for son-in-law. So what Luke is saying here, Luke is identifying Joseph as the son-in-law of Mary. So Heli is the father of Mary. Now that solves all things, but it does make some people say, wait a minute. We've been told that Joachim and Anne are the parents of Mary. And in fact, if for those of us that were in Israel, either time we've been in Israel, the only church we ever go to is in Jerusalem, the Church of St. Anne. It's the only church we ever go to. And it's the Church of St. Anne because it is there as a memorial to Anne as the mother. She's considered a saint because she's considered to be the mother of Mary. The only reason we actually go into that is because, if you remember when you were there, it has beautiful acoustics. Man, when you sing praises to Jesus in there, it is awe-inspiring. But here's the thing. We've been told that Joachim and Anne are the parents of Mary. But that's not scriptural. You're not going to find that anywhere in the Bible. It's a tradition, but it's a tradition that comes from the writings of a man in 150 A.D. That's more than 100 years after the fact. Look, I don't even know. I can't even go back more than three generations. I can't even tell you. I know my grandparents' names. I know my one great-grandfather's name. I don't know any of the names of my other great-grandparents, and I certainly don't know any generation before that. My point is, I want you to see that this is the power of those two genealogies. It shows. This is what those two genealogies show us. It shows us that through those genealogies, Jesus fulfilled the prophecy. And because Jesus fulfilled the prophecy, he could then become, through his resurrection, he could then become the firstborn of all who are the new creation in his blood. So Jesus is the firstborn of the new creation. And the gift of the firstborn, the gift of the firstborn is eternal life for all who have become new creations in him. But this is Christmas time, right? Who wants just one gift at Christmas, right? You're not going to be really happy if on Christmas Day you just have one gift. Well, God is a God of abundance. And so even the gift of the firstborn is almost limitless in the gifts that it presents to you. Because Jesus is the firstborn of the new creation, I want you to see the wealth of gifts that that provides for you. Eternal salvation? Thank you. You could end right there and we'd all be thrilled beyond measure. But God gives us so much more. All the time he gives us so much more. So I started this whole thing looking at Paul's letter to the Colossians, and we were looking at verse number 15 in chapter 1. If you go down just four verses, I want you to see verse number 19. Colossians 1:19 says, "For it has pleased the Father that all the divine fullness, the sum total of the divine perfection, powers and attributes should dwell in him, Jesus, permanently." All the divine attributes, the fullness of God, the sum total of divine perfection and power resides permanently in Jesus. Amen? Everybody accept that? Okay, remember that. Keep that in your mind. All of that resides in Jesus. Now look at John chapter 1, verse number 16. And of his fullness we have all received from grace for grace. So all of the divine, the sum total of all the divine that resides permanently in Jesus, Jesus has given to you. Grace upon grace, gift upon gift, blessing and benefit upon blessing. He's given it to you. So what does that look like for you? Gift upon gift, grace upon grace, benefit upon benefit, blessing upon blessing. What does it actually look like for you? Well, I looked to see what the word grace meant in all the different times it was used in the New Testament. So this is just giving you a very brief. I'm just hitting some of the highlights of it. So this is what grace. So all the divine, everything that resides, the perfection and the power that resides permanently in Jesus Christ, he has given to you grace upon grace, gift upon gift. Here's what that grace is. It's his unmerited favor. Pressure is off. You don't have to earn any of these things. He gives them to you. It is the gift of the firstborn. It is the gift. This is the gift of Christmas. He's given you all of these things that I'm about to show you, and even more. You don't have to earn it. He gives it to you unmerited. Grace, it's the state of God's favor. You can be in the state of chaos. You know what that's like? You can be in the state of peace. When you're in the state of something, that means you are constantly in whatever that is. This is saying that one of the gifts of the firstborn is that you are in the state of his favor. His favor goes before you. What are you looking for? What are you hoping for? What are you waiting for? What are you needing today, this week, in the coming year? His favor is already there, and you stand in the state of his favor. You stand in the state of his favor. Grace is also special endowment for the task. Whatever Jesus Christ has called you to do, whatever he has set for you to be, to do, and to accomplish, he has given you special endowment to complete that task. Again, it's not on you. All I have to do is move forward in obedience. He will give you everything you need to be used to glorify him in ways that will bring fulfillment to you that nothing else in your life could ever bring. You just move forward in obedience, and he provides the endowment for the task that he has given you. Blessings of deliverance. If you need deliverance in any area of your life today, it's the gift of the firstborn. He's given it to you. Walk in that deliverance. Divine favor. Again, it's reemphasizing that every promise you find in the Word of God, it is yours. You don't have to earn it. It's yours. Merry Christmas. Thank you, Jesus. It's the gift of the firstborn for you. Generosity. He gives all these things, not just a little bit. He doesn't just give out little bits to get you by. He gives these things to you generously, abundantly, so you will always have in him. In whatever you are receiving of these gifts, whatever you're receiving, he gives you more than enough. You'll always have enough. Earthly blessings as well as spiritual blessings. So all the things that we've talked about, but then you can receive those things and know that those things are here in this world, in this flesh. These are earthly blessings. You can consider this your healing. You can consider anything that has to do with finances. What are your earthly needs? Merry Christmas. It's the gift of the firstborn for you. Privilege. You stand in the place of privilege. You know, when my stepfather, this is going to sound bad, but for clarification, my first stepfather, I had two stepfathers. So my first stepfather was a news anchorman. And so he was working at a TV station in Cleveland, and then he was in Florida as well. And because he had that position, there was all kinds of well-known people actors, stars on TV, everybody. They would come in, and I had a place of privilege because what was my privilege based on? Anything of me? No, it's because of who I knew. Because Scott was there, and Scott met these people. I met those people. You guys, if you know me, you know I love baseball. One of the greatest benefits I had as a child is when I was 14 years old, 14 and 15, 15 to 16, I got to be a bat boy during spring training for the Kansas City Royals. That was like a dream come true for me. I loved those 2 years. The only reason I got it, because I had privilege. Because my stepfather knew the sports director who knew the people at Terry Park who were associated with the Kansas City Royals who got me into that job. Nobody else even interviewed for it. I got it. Privilege. You have privilege in all things because of who you know in Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas. It's the gift of the firstborn for you. Utilize and live in that privilege. The power of the Holy Spirit. Diverse powers and gifts granted. This is talking about, you know, what are the gifts? What are the supernatural? What are the spiritual gifts that he's given you? If you want more, receive more because he has an abundance for you. Spiritual strength, goodwill, mercy, loving kindness. And finally, I love this, it is spontaneous blessings and favor. He has spontaneous. Walk out of here today and get ready to get surprised. You know, one of the things that I say all the time, I prayed it this morning, I prayed over here all the time. I say, God, Jesus, surprise me today. Because I want to be surprised by his blessings. I know he has blessings and favor for me. I look forward to the surprise. Part of your gift is the spontaneous blessings and favor of Jesus Christ. Look to be pleasantly, overwhelmingly, joyously surprised by what he has for you. Amen? So we celebrate Jesus at Christmas time. Christmas is the time of giving gifts. The gift of the firstborn is salvation, and all of the gifts that come with salvation, make sure you open every one of those gifts. Don't miss out on one. Now, I want to take you back and look at that one, that last verse we looked at, John chapter 1, verse number 16. I want you to see it in the Amplified Bible. John 1:16 says this in the Amplified Bible. For out of his fullness, abundance, God is a God of abundance. We have all received, all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another. Spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, even favor upon favor, gift heaped upon gift. I don't know what your Christmas tree looks like on Christmas morning, but you probably don't see gifts heaped upon gifts. But this is what Jesus has for you because it's the gift of the firstborn. Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. He is the firstborn of the new creation. So he has gifts heaped upon us. All of his gifts that I've spoken about and more, gifts that I don't even know about that he has for you individually and personally. All of those gifts that he has for you, they are heaped up waiting for you. Receive each of those gifts in this coming year. Receive them all. I would even suggest this. Listen to this and don't let this slide past. Daily, every day, ask Jesus to show you what is the gift that he has for you on that day. Ask him. Let him show you. Be pleasantly surprised. Let him show you the gift that he has for you that day. And then be quick to unwrap it, open it, and receive it. And make it yours. Because it will delight you, but even more than it delights you, it is going to delight Jesus that you received. You ask for and receive. The abundance of gifts that he has heaped up for you. Amen? Who wants to receive the heap of gifts that he has for us? Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for being the firstborn of creation. Thank you for becoming a part of your creation so that you could be the firstborn of the new creation. And as your new creation, we end this year celebrating you. Thank you, Jesus, for becoming this flesh. We celebrate your coming to this earth. And we thank you and praise you that you did it so that you could walk with us once again, but that ultimately so we could have deliverance and salvation through you, and we could have all of the gifts of you, the firstborn. We praise you and thank you as we receive them. We look forward, each one of us, we look forward every day from this day forward to receiving the gift that you have for us on that day. And we give you the praise for it in advance. In your name, Jesus, amen.